Welcome to Elevate Your Business, a podcast for mortgage professionals from Elevate Coaching at Guild Mortgage. Hosted by Coach P, top producer, vice president of Elevate, and national coach, each episode is a playbook for success. You'll hear from top producers and industry leaders as they share the moves, mindset shifts, and lessons that shaped their growth, both at work and in life. Elevate your business. Making the moves that matter.
On today's playbook, we're joined by Jason Jacobs, who is not only one of Guild Mortgage's top producing loan officers, but also known for his vocal performance talents and former touring a cappella singer. What began as a softball field conversation turned into a mortgage career built on zigging when others were zagging, and a determination to stand out in shifting markets. Through Elevate Coaching, Jason transformed his approach to partners and clients, proving that success is both intentional and sustainable. Jason's story is one of balance, reinvention, and leading with authenticity in business and life.
Elevate your business, starting now.
Today on our podcast, I'm joined by Jason Jacobs. Jason studied vocal performance at Indiana University and even toured the country with a men's a cappella group before moving into mortgages. What began as a teammate's suggestion turned into a career that has taken him to the top of our company. In 2021, Jason leaned into Elevate Coaching, focusing on realtors, and found creative ways to stand out. Now, fast forward, August of 2025, he ranked number one in units in our country. His journey is about balance, creativity, and adapting to the market shifts. So let's dive in. Jason, welcome to our Elevate podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here. I've been listening, longtime listener, first time caller. Very excited to be here.
Glad. Yeah, we are excited to have you. I want to start out with, you know, your path to mortgages. You know, it's not exactly traditional, as all of us kind of got in. But let's share a little bit about your music. And how did you get into this? How did you choose to go into music in college? What was your background?
Yeah, I started singing at a young age, like 12 or 13, to try and meet girls. And it was very effective. I'm married with an 8-year-old. And just trying to figure out kind of what that looked like for me. And so I did like show choir, but I played sports. So I was like a very well-rounded young man. Played baseball and football in high school, and I was in the show choir, and I just like to entertain people. I think that's what it came down to for me. Like, the music was never about the musicianship or the musicality, but more so about making people laugh, making people smile, and finding a way to entertain. That was always the most important part of music to me, and being in front of people. And so I actually think I get to do a lot of that in my day-to-day now. Like, there's a performative nature to what we do when we're in front of people.
Absolutely. I remember when we were at our last coaching retreat, or one of our coaching retreats, and we went to a bar that had dueling pianos, and Jason got up at request of his coaches to get up and sing and perform for us. And it was so much fun. Do you remember what you sang?
I do. Yeah. I sang Feeling Good. Aaron and Hayward had asked them to play a song that I did not know the words to, because they thought that was the song that I knew. And I ended up knowing the pianist. We were in the same men's a cappella group together at different times, and it's just alumni of the same group. And he put the song together for me in the back, and then we performed it. It was really fun.
I know. And you had no idea, like, what a chance meeting that was.
Yeah, it was so random. I mean, I hadn't seen Nick in probably 15 years, and he's just playing piano at this piano bar that I happened to be at in Austin, Texas. It was really cool.
Oh, it was so much fun. The other thing, you know, so like, you get out of doing that and you're playing softball, like you said, you were an athlete, and we know you love golf. Like, how did just a random conversation happen at a softball game?
Yes, it's a great question. I was doing gym membership sales. It was my first sales job, pretty much my first job out of college. I had one other job working for a family business, but this is like my first big boy job. I think I was making like $31,000 a year. And I was playing a lot of softball. It was a simpler time. I was like 23 or 24 when the conversation started. And he just said, hey, I think you might be good at this, and I'd like to have you come on as my assistant. And so I did. I jumped into the mortgage business with both feet and quickly realized that I did not want to be anybody's assistant. And so I got licensed right away. I think I started, actually, I know I started in August of 2012. And by November, I had closed my first transaction. And hey, the rest is history. In 2021, I went out on my own and started my own team. And yeah, I feel like I'm living the life I've always wanted to live. It's great.
So what were, you know, like in the very beginning, and let's fast forward from when you were an assistant, when you were actually a loan officer, what was it like for you in the first few years of your, of the business?
Yes, such a good question. And I can't really separate out when I was an assistant and when I was an originator, because I basically wore that hat for 8 years, 8.5 years. I ran the team. And I think one of the things that a lot of young originators, even if they're not young in age, young in experience, run into is they feel like their experience is maybe a hindrance, or their lack of experience is something that impacts them. And I, early in my career, had a conversation with myself about a limiting belief and what I thought experience really meant and how to even quantify experience. And so I was working for a $30 million producer. I didn't have $30 million of production on my own. And so what I tried to tell myself, and what I still think to this day, is that my dog's in the background. The average loan officer does maybe 10 to 12 million a year. And so I was looking at every year that I worked with him as 3 years of experience. And so, and that's not including my production. So I think that for being a young originator, I was getting a lot more experience than anybody else my age. I was putting out fires that most people my age or my experience didn't put out, and learned a ton very quickly. And extrapolate that over 8 years, I feel like I've got 24 years of experience now, and I've only been in the business for 13 years. And 24 years just in that 8 year period. So a couple weeks ago, I celebrated 13 years in the mortgage industry. So
congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. But I feel like I have the experience of somebody who's been doing it his whole life. And I just think that's how I looked at my career as a young loan officer.
You're right. Cause in our business, I mean, experience comes from doing transactions.
Yeah.
So if you're out on your own just trying to do transactions and you're starting out very slow, it's very different than being on a team where you've got someone that's doing a lot of transactions that you get to see and work on.
I mean, it's just like my golf swing, right? Every repetition is reinforcing something. And so getting the repetitions is essential to learning what not to do and what to do, figuring out what works for each person.
Yep, that's how we strengthen our skills.
Exactly. Tony Robbins says, repetition is the mother of all skill. So that's what you got to do. Get reps.
Exactly. Well, let's jump into 2021, and refinances were huge. Mm-hmm. What was your business like for you at that time?
Ooh. Well, I didn't leave my house very often. I had a young child. She was like 4 years old. She was still napping for 2 hours a day. So I would get to my computer like 8:30 in the morning, start picking up the phone. And then during her nap, I couldn't be in my office because our rooms shared a wall. So I would go play video games for 2 hours. Legit. I would go play Call of Duty for 2 hours in the middle of the day every day. And then I'd come back to work, and then I'd work until like 6:30. We'd have dinner. I'd probably go back to my computer. I was literally at my computer nonstop pretty much the first half of 2021. Then we started to see the writing on the wall that things were going to shift. And I started making plans through coaching, actually, through Elevate, on what the next phase of the market looks like. It was pretty clear to me when we started business planning at the end of 2021 that if the refis went away, my lifestyle would also go away. And so I made a very conscious decision to figure out how to make sure that the market can't beat me.
So you decided to get into Elevate.
Yeah, I got into Elevate in 2020, like right at the end of 2020.
And was Liddell your first coach?
Yeah, Liddell was my first coach. And now she's a dear friend, and I would consider her to be monumental in the transformation of my career.
And I've known Liddell for a very long time. I actually coached her in the very beginning as well. So she's a great, great, great coach and friend. Absolutely.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Tell me, what was the number one thing you learned that in your first semester with Liddell?
The thing I learned, I think there's two things that were really, really important to me. The first thing is you have to implement immediately. If you're going to, if you want to implement something, just do it. Doesn't have to be perfect. I think that's kind of the, for me, that's been the theme of coaching my entire coaching career, which is like, just start. Starting is better than perfection, and perfection will never be there. Like, you're chasing something that doesn't exist. So if you can just start implementing, you'll have success a lot sooner. You'll be able to figure out what does and doesn't work. And then the other thing that became really, really important to me, especially at the time when she was my coach, which was like midway through 2021 and end of 2021, is how to stand out and be different, not just from the person down the street, but from the loan officer down the hall, because we saw the writing on the wall. Rates were not going to be in the twos forever. And when those rates started to climb, loan officers are going to realize they forgot to love on their realtors. And so I made the conscious decision to not only start calling my realtors sooner than I think most people, but to figure out what I was going to say and how it was going to sound different than everybody else that was calling them. Why would they take my call or sit down with me versus somebody else? So that was the thing that I think I
did. Let's talk about that process though, because I think there's a lot of loan officers out there right now. That is the biggest struggle, is how do I stand out? I always talk about, you know, what value are you going to bring, right? You know, no longer can you go in and just say, hey, I'm going to close your loan on time, or let's go get a beer, or, you know, I mean, we've got to bring value. And especially when markets shift and change, and obviously this has been challenging both on the real estate side and the lender side. So when you were sitting there thinking about, okay, I heard from Liddell, I need to stand out differently. So what was your process? So if a loan officer today was listening to this, how did you come up with that process? What did you do? What did you think about?
I thought about the market challenges that realtors were facing. And so if you can flash back to 2021, rates were really low. People were buying everything that they could, and everywhere was a bidding war. Some offers were going for six figures over asking price. And like, we're not talking about million-dollar homes here in Missouri. $500,000 house going for 600K. So I recognize the challenges in our market, and I recognize what everybody else was saying. And loan officers typically talk about a few different things in their meetings with the realtors, which is, I'm a great communicator. I close on time. I have great products. And I just was like very, very focused on not sounding like that, not saying one of the things that the person in the next office over was saying. Like, and I'm guilty of it too. I spent the first, 9 years of my career saying that to realtors and having these great coffees that didn't turn into business. And so for me, what I focus on is how can I be in the trenches with the real estate agents to create partnership? It was important for me to add value that was beyond the empty promise of a referral, because loan officers promise that, I'm sure, a lot. I don't promise that. But I needed something that was going to add value to a lot of realtors' businesses. So we looked at the market. It was competitive. And that's how we came up with what we call the pitch affectionately in our coaching groups, which is how to help people win in competitive markets without taking on risk. And so when I was calling realtors and saying, hi, it's Jason Jacobs with Guild Mortgage. I'm an expert at helping clients win in a competitive market without taking on risk. Can we have coffee for 30 minutes? That's a lot more effective than having a conversation for 25, 30 seconds, figuring out if we can build rapport quickly, and then asking the question. So just figuring out a path to getting a direct answer, yes or no, and telling them something about me that other people aren't telling them that I think would add value to their businesses pretty quickly.
So you came up with that pitch and you looked at what is the market condition, you know, like what's going on right now? How can I help solve this problem, right?
Yep.
So then when you took that, then what was your strategy as far as how many agents did you call?
Yeah.
How many appointments did you set?
I was determined to never let the market beat me. That was like the most important thing in 2022 and 2023 and 2024. For me, it was like, I'm not going to let the market win. And I think what I recognized very quickly was this is going to take a lot more work than what I put in 2020 and 2021. And so I think the number of phone calls I was making to refinance leads, I just shifted into calling real estate agents and trying to set as many appointments as I could. And as I evolved through coaching, what that looked like is trying to set appointments with 3 new real estate agents a week, new to me, new to my business. And I told every single realtor that would listen to me about how I make clients competitive without taking on risk, using the tools that we have at Guild, using the tools that we have within our region to help them stand out and help them win and come up with a strategy. I find realtors to be a little bit less intentionally business-minded in most situations. And so I felt like they needed our help. They were frustrated. They were writing 20 offers. They were showing people 50 houses. And so I feel like I found the answer to their problems in a way that made an impact immediately. And a crazy thing started happening after I started meeting with them. They started sending me clients and we started winning our offers. And then the clients, they just shopped around for the lowest rate. So I was doing all this work up front and then the clients were shopping me around and it just evolved. Because what I realized in that moment was the realtors, they know the value I'm bringing to the table. They're sending me all their clients. But the clients, they have no clue what value I'm bringing. And so it was then at the end of 2022, when I started meeting with every client, and I've told hundreds of students and people at our conferences, meet with every client. And I would say maybe less than 10% have taken me up on that. But when I meet with every client, they are more loyal. They understand me. We know something about each other. I don't just keep it strictly business. We get to know each other. They get to see my dog on my couch over here in her diapers. And they just get to know me better. And so by doing that, now the clients know my value. And they understand the difference between me and when they just go online and find some online rate. And so I think that's made the biggest evolution in my business is meeting with every client. Because as we got into 2025, I really stopped calling realtors for the most part. I was only calling realtors that I wanted to meet with because Brad Langle said to. And in doing so, my business actually grew this year because clients are sending more referrals. Just getting to know the clients and spending more time with them. So that's how the evolution of what the market shifts were creating in my business.
I think it's pretty exciting that, you know, the reality of it is we can get to the consumer first. So if you establish and do what Jason's talking about and meet with your clients and really get to know them and they really get to know you, you know, you're going to see that they're going to start sending you referrals. And as far as shopping, if you're only texting or sending emails or on the phone, it's so easy to text you back and say, hey, I'm going with another lender. Much harder. They're probably going to give you a shot at it if they're really shopping because they've gotten to know you. They've seen your face. You know, it's much harder to say no.
I totally agree. And I would just to piggyback off of that, if they are shopping you, ask for the opportunity to have the last chance. I mean, the answer is no until you ask. So when
I get the last dance,
when I'm being shopped, I'm always saying, hey, look, I appreciate that you want to shop around. Can you do me a favor? Since we've spent so much time working together and I really like working with you, can I have the last opportunity? If you find something by chance that's a little bit less expensive than what I'm offering you, can you give me an opportunity to match it so we can keep working together? That goes a long way. I mean, I'm not losing, so it's working.
Right. What do you have to lose, right?
Yeah. I mean, if I don't ask, then they may not know that they can come back to me and see if I can match it. So.
Great. So. Now we come into August of 2025 of this year, and I pull up the top 100, and I see Mr. Jason Jacobs, number one in units. And so I had to call you, and I'm like, okay, what are you doing? You know, is this all purchase business or what, you know, what's going on? So tell her, what did you do? I mean, how did you get there? Because that's a big feat at this big company.
Yeah, you know, honestly, my team and I didn't even think it was a we didn't think we'd be even close to that. Like, not the number, but we didn't think we'd be number one. It was a big surprise. I was actually like in an interview to be a preferred lender at a real estate company when the list came out, and I came out to like 35 phone calls missed and all these pings on Teams. So it was very surprising. What we did was we picked up the phone. I mean, I'm going to oversimplify it, but we saw a tiny refi opportunity in June, and we picked up the phone and we asked people if they wanted to move forward. We took advantage of a product that we have specific to Guild, that's specific to our market, that gives refinancing buyer or refinancing borrowers a $2,500 lender credit. And we just tried to get as many people into a lower rate with the shortest amount of break-even time as possible. And by picking up the phone, like, I've spent enough time with these clients face-to-face over Zoom that when I pick up the phone, they're gonna answer. And we've also spent a lot of time like doing client appreciation events over the last couple of years so that that rapport is built, so that when I do call, that they'll answer. And if I can call or text, and I think I'm a very efficient text messenger, but I was just calling and texting as many people as I could that it made sense for. And, you know, my instincts from 2020 and 2021 took back over. And so there's 36 units, and I think there was like 14 refinances. So it was a big purchase month for us still. July typically is, as people are trying to get in the school district they want to be in before school starts. But the 14 refinances certainly helped.
Oh my gosh, that was unbelievable. If you would go back to 2018 or 19, what's one piece of advice you'd give yourself?
Well, that's a really good question. 2018 or 2019. I think in 2019 is when I started taking my career a little bit more seriously. Went to my first leadership summit in Dallas and heard Shayla speak for the first time, which was very cool. And I had not been taking my business intentionally. I'd been accidentally successful, I think. And successful to a point, like I was making more money than I'd ever made in my entire life. You know, making six figures with a music performance degree is like pretty unheard of. So I didn't really apply myself the way that I would say I apply myself now, but I learned about the playbook. And I thought, you know, if it's good enough for Shayla, I should at least try it. So I got home in February of 19 and I started doing the playbook religiously. And the playbook was, on Mondays, you call agents. On Tuesdays, you do updates. On Wednesdays, you call anniversaries and birthdays. On Thursdays, you call non-realtor referral partners and pre-approvals. And Fridays, you call your outstanding pre-approvals. And so I just did that every day. And it changed everything for me. And now we have the 5-3-2, which is equally as effective. But it's just like being consistent with the plan made it so that my business became consistent. And so that's what I would tell myself, is start sooner.
And be consistent, yeah. Right? Whatever you choose to do. And I think that's a big thing for listeners to understand, is it doesn't matter. Everyone's business can be different in what you're doing or who you're attracting or who you're trying to go after as far as business referral partners, but it's just being consistent. And then, what's the second thing? I mean, it's one thing to make the calls, but it's the follow-up,
yeah,
right?
It's the follow-up. And I will say, asking for the business is a really big thing that I think I see a lot of my students maybe avoid. And not maybe, they avoid it. People don't like asking the question. And I don't know if it's a fear of rejection or a fear of making people uncomfortable, but if you don't ask, it's going to take a lot longer to get business from somebody. And the person who is asking is going to get business from that realtor before you are. The difference between being a salesperson and buddy selling. I call it buddy selling when you just try to make them like you and hope that eventually they will send you a deal or send you a lead. I'm winning that business every time from whoever's buddy selling that realtor because I'm asking for the opportunity, you know? And so, right. Yeah, I think that's like the key. Just ask.
Bring value, right?
It's,
and then ask for the business.
And it's not enough to just bring value. I read the book Ninja Selling. It's a real estate book. And it's one thing to know what your value is and be able to bring that value. But the real skill that you need to master to create growth is communicating that value to other people so that they understand your value. Because it's not enough for me to know what my value is. And that's when I started meeting with clients when I was reading that book. Because the clients didn't understand my value. They were just shopping me around. They just thought I was just another guy. And I'm not another guy. I'm the top loan officer in July in units at Guild Mortgage. So I needed to figure out how to communicate that to them. so that they understood the value I was bringing. Because it's not enough for me to know it.
No, you got to articulate it.
Yes.
Right? So you've got to be clear.
Being an expert at communicating it.
So what's next for you, Jason? Like, what's another big goal or a project do you have that you're looking forward to?
That's a good question also. I got burnt out at the end of last year. Not letting the market beat me is a really tough way to go about your day-to-day, because you feel like you're always in an adversarial relationship with the market. And I made a conscious decision to not business plan at the end of 2024. So I made Chairman's Club by $148,000. And I had four really, really, really tough deals close on December 30th. And at any point in time, one of them could have moved to January and I wouldn't have made Chairman's Club. And so I was working my tail off right up until the end. And I didn't take the time to business plan because I was focused on the goal at hand. And so I did not business plan. I do not have a goal for this year. We are tracking well ahead of last year. But for me, what's next is focused on being focused on my mental health and being focused on some of the things that when you say you're not going to let the market beat you, that you've sacrificed. And so that would look like my health, quality time with my wife and daughter, vacations, playing golf, getting my handicap pretty low right now. And so in doing so, I've put a little bit of less stress and pressure on myself to like be closing as many deals as possible. It's actually freed me up to feel better. And I think that whether it's a realtor or a potential prospect, if there is any hint of desperation or any hint of like false sense of urgency, it puts people's guard up and it sends up red flags. And so I think by caring less about that and making that less of a priority, it has freed me up to just be myself and find my people and find my tribe within the people that I'm working with. I've fired a couple of real estate agents that I didn't want to work with anymore. I've just really prioritized, am I enjoying my life? And I am. Short answer is I am. And it's actually made business a lot easier for me.
So I think another thing that I love when we talk, you love to play golf. And you've played, how many rounds have you played this year?
Year to date, I think I'm at like 78. I should have looked before the call. I knew you were going to ask this question.
I know. I'm just like, I had to ask you.
Yeah.
And you said, what did you score yesterday you played?
Well, I played 36 holes yesterday because I didn't have any appointments. I shot 82 in the first round and then I had my best round ever. It was just like, oh, I have time. I'll play 18 more. I shot 74, 2 over par. And I left like 2 or 3 putts on the lip that could have very, very easily been an even par.
I hate that.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure there were many shots that I hit that were equally as lucky as those were unlucky. So it balances out. But yeah, it was cool. I had my best round ever yesterday.
So when you started playing more golf, tell everybody, like, so how did you create your schedule? Because I'm sure people are like, how is he doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I work at night. I mean, so I have a... my regional manager, somebody I've worked with my whole career, his name's Brad Bradford. And he told me that when he got in the business, he would go out at night with realtors. Like he would just call them and invite them to nighttime happy hours and go out, go to dinners, go drinking, and do the things that his competitors weren't doing. And so as the market was shifting and I was trying to meet with clients, they're not available from 9 to 5. Like most people are not able to meet me on Zoom from 9 to 5. And if they can, great, I'll meet them on Zoom. But my daughter goes to bed relatively early, 7:30, 7:45 timeframe. Like I said, she's young. She's 8. She goes to bed really early. She needs a lot of sleep. So I started scheduling my meetings at 7:30, 2 to 3 nights a week. I would say on average, I probably have 1 meeting a week. It's very rare for me to meet all 3 of those nights, but I leave 3 nights open every week and I meet with clients at night. And in doing so, if I'm going to work at night, I'm going to play during the day. Like that's just, it's what's going to happen. So that's how I've been able to free up my schedule. And yeah, I mean, just like penciling in the time. Also, I live 5 minutes from my club and I can probably play 18 holes by myself in 2 hours. So it's a little bit different. I know I have a very, very specific set of circumstances, but I feel very lucky and grateful. And I never take it for granted. I just, and there's no,
I think the big message is, no matter what it is that you want in your life, as far as balance, whether it's playing some golf, spending time with your kids, you know, doing something for yourself, whether it's hiking, working out, that you can create that balance, you know, by just really focusing on your schedule, right? Yeah. And really time blocking. And if you get that discipline in, you can have some fun
That's
in your fun, life
yeah.
as well.
I'm not a time blocker. I will be the first to admit, I do not block my time well. I would say I'm a good time manager. And I would say I'm really efficient mobily, especially with this new Salesforce that we can get on Loan Hub from Salesforce. I can do everything from the golf course. And no one's bothering me out there. I can take a call. I have, we all have AirPods now. I mean, the business has evolved so much since when I got in. Like, I remember looking up guidelines in like a yellow book for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Now we got AI, like it's always evolving. And so we have to be as well. And it's not that I'm not available on the golf course. I'm available. I make phone calls, but also I know I'm going to be putting in hours at night, and I'm probably working 50 or 60 hours a week. It's not like I'm not working.
Right.
I think it's like when you own your own business, you're still working 60 hours a week. You just get to pick the 60 hours that you work.
Exactly. So last question. Finally, what's the one message you want listeners to take away from your story?
The one message I want listeners to take away from my story is it was intentional. Being successful is intentional, and it's not being perfect, implementing immediately, and closing on the sale. Like, it's really that simple. And it serves me outside of mortgages as well. You have to ask the question if you want the answer, whether you want the answer or not. I mean, you might not like the answer you get, but you have to ask the question. And so those are the two things that I've really leaned on is, if I see somebody that is successful and I want to try something like that, then I'm going to try it. And I'm going to try it for a long enough time that I can see if it works. I'm not going to try it for 2 weeks and then quit. So I'm going to implement. I'm going to be consistent with my implementation, and I'm going to close. That's it.
Well, thank you so much for being on the call. Congratulations on your August month.
Thank you. Yeah. Hopefully August is as good as July. Thank you so much for having me. I'm truly honored to be a part of Elevate and this podcast.
Thanks for listening to Elevate Your Business, a podcast from Elevate, the internal coaching program at Go Mortgage. Glad you could be here for today's playbook. If you want to check us out, head over to gilmortgage.com and click About Us to find Elevate Coaching. Have a question or want to keep the play going? Visit us and send a DM on Instagram at Elevate Mortgage Coaching, or leave a comment for us on YouTube. We're posting extra content, behind-the-scenes action, and everything you need to stay in the mortgage game. On Elevate Your Business, we share real stories and strategies from top producers to help you move forward. So ask yourself, what are you waiting for? It's time to elevate.
Guild Mortgage Company, NMLS identification number 3274, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, equal housing opportunity, equal opportunity employer, Arizona banking license number 0018883, licensed by the Department of Financial Protection and Innovation under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act, Massachusetts mortgage lender and broker license number MC3274, licensed by the Mississippi Department of Banking and Consumer Finance, licensed by the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance, Nevada mortgage company number 1141, Oregon mortgage lending number NL176, Rhode Island licensed lender and third-party loan servicer. Guild Mortgage Company, 5887 Copley Drive, San Diego, California, 92111. For licensing, visit guildmortgage.com/licensing. All loans subject to underwriter approval. Terms and conditions apply. Subject to change without notice. Elevate is an internal Guild Mortgage Company coaching program and not a separate entity. Podcast content is provided for informational purposes and based on publicly available materials or tactics used in the industry. The views, strategies, or opinions discussed do not necessarily represent those of Guild Mortgage Company or its affiliates. Intended for mortgage industry professionals only.
Paula Nurschel, NMLS number 383396.
Jason Jacobs, NMLS number 958441.
Thank you for joining us on Elevate Your Business, a podcast for mortgage professionals brought to you by Elevate, the internal coaching program at Guild Mortgage.